Mike Rabinovich here, and this is the Modelo's Conversations with Data Warehouse Experts podcast series. Our mission in these podcasts is to speak to the best minds in the data warehouse and BI space, and to get their take on the state of the business and find out what they think the future holds. We are also committed to do it in a way that adds value to tech professionals, while at the same time is clear and compelling for the business managers and executives they collaborate with every day. This podcast is brought to you by 7W Data, your go-to portal for all things data. Subscribe free for the latest news and events at www.data.com. That's www.7wdata.com. Follow on Twitter at 7wdata. In today's episode, it is my pleasure to speak with Klaus Lindinger, Digital Innovation Officer at DataWorks and partner at InfoTeam Sales Process Consulting, based in Frankfurt. Over the past 30 years, Klaus has worked with some of the world's largest software brands. Welcome, Klaus.
Welcome. Hello.
I'd like to begin by asking you to tell us a little bit about your background, where you started out, and the journey that led you to your current positions.
Could be a relatively long journey, as you already mentioned. It's about more than 30 years that I'm in business now. But maybe I really started in automotive, where my first journey was sitting on a snowplow and collecting data on the snowplow and try to figure out how to optimize the way the snowplow runs over the streets and cleans the streets. So that was my starting journey in data collecting. And after a while, I went a little bit more over into the area of workforce management and access control security solutions. And then went a little bit more into the big data area, especially when I started with SAP in 98. In 98, where I was responsible for a big media group, worldwide media group. And they had they tried to save their book club business against the upcoming giants like Amazon. Which was, as you know, not a successful journey for them. But we really built a lot of solutions around for them, especially in customer experience and replenishment solutions for their book club business, which had at that time 10 million members around the world. Wow. So at that time, it was really the largest SAP environment worldwide with 12 terabytes of data. At that time, it was really a high cost and very, very complex solution, which ended up in the typical seasons business that the system didn't work anymore. And even to load it up again and restart it, it took 56 hours. So that was my starting point really in big data when it gets highly complex. And after a while, I think I was 6 years with SAP and then changed over into more general management roles and sales management roles in the area of recruiting solutions and board services solutions with different vendors like Oracle or Taleo, you know, maybe a little bit from your point of view. And in the end, I saw that there is a vendor who is serving data virtuality solutions. Said, okay, what's that? And after a while, I learned that it's mainly around a way to get into data in a completely different approach that the traditional business is doing. And that was so fascinating because it remembered me to the times when I was responsible for that, called a book club project, that now there is possibly the time that technology is at a stage really to run into that complex data infrastructures. And that's why I'm here in that situation.
So based on this really interesting journey, I mean, snowplows, I would have never thought so, but that's fascinating.
Yeah.
So you've seen a lot of changes in the industry. Where have you seen the most significant ones in the data warehouse and BI space over your career, but especially over the last 5 years where so much stuff has been happening?
Yeah, I think even if at the starting point, it was 30 years ago when data collection was starting with a few sensors in the vehicle. The idea was really to use all the data in a real-time manner approach to get to a better way of use the vehicle or use whatever you need, like as well customer data or whatever. And this is something from my point of view that the technology has changed dramatically, that all that kind of stuff that creates data will get into a kind of explosion. And it started maybe a little bit with all that social media where people load up their photos and a lot of personal stuff into platforms. Now it changes more and more into a professional manner, and that creates way more data. And the expectation, what we see now, is that this data is not used just to store it. It is used to get immediately new insights out of it. So the idea that comes up from my point of view, or came up in the last years, is to use the data in the next second if possible. Yeah, and drive your business completely in a different way, and have the capability to act in real time. That's, from my point of view, the most dramatic change that comes up.
On a day-to-day basis, as you work on projects within your companies, what are the key pain points that you observe businesses experiencing when it comes to data warehousing, and specifically ETL?
Yeah. I think what we see is that especially the business side has some concerns on the data quality, and especially on the reliability after transforming the data from the original data sources into the ETL or into the data warehouse environment. So from that point of view, on the one hand side, there is a lot of effort really to prepare the data and work on the data and make it available in some areas like data marts and give it a better shape. And the business itself has really concerns that the data that is then presented is not anymore really the reliable and the original data. And this is something that I saw, especially in the area of ETL and warehousing.
Do you think that current data warehousing tools are adequately addressing these pain points?
The typical approach would be just collect all the data and then start to dig through it and find the real insights or the real golden nuggets in the data, then the approach would be probably wrong, because if you just collect all the data and then you just feed all the data recycle people if you name it dramatically. Yeah, that's a little. So I think there is a lot of potential in really the approach how to make or how to convert and transform the data and what kind of data into a data warehousing area or even data lakes. It's not that much different from looking at an end-to-end point of view.
Over the last few years, there have been articles talking about the death of the data warehouse. What's your take on that?
I think there is this is typically this black and white way on looking on things. From my point of view, even years before, everybody talked about the death of spreadsheets. Look at what's
right.
Like so. still there. And from my point of view, if you really want to have a very professional way to use the insights in data, I would say the only way really to walk through that is using a data warehouse. There are some additional areas like ours where we do that kind of data virtualization, but from my point of view, it's more a kind of synergy and new valuable improvements that help to get quicker to the data or to get quicker to parts of the data that are really needed in time. And then it's more a kind of synergy, but not a kind of black and white approach. And I don't think there is a kind of death, no way on that.
As more and more companies are adopting the cloud, what's the impact on their data warehousing projects going forward, especially when we address data migration and ETL?
On the one hand side, everybody expects from a cloud environment that there is more professionalism, that the people who run a real professional cloud environment, that there is a better performance available, and that the environment is up to date. So I would say this side, and as well, especially the cost side, is a positive approach, but you always need to have in mind that governance issues, privacy, and that kind of dependency on the provider that you choose is something that you need to have in mind, yeah, because dependency on maybe just a single provider can be dramatic, and this is something where you have to take a little bit care on. That's my point of view on it.
What's your take on automation and the role it can play in making the design and build of data warehouses faster and more cost effective, especially when we look at the increasing data flows and complexity?
Yeah, there is so much room for improvement. Absolutely. I'd say all that effort that is typically made to build an ETL road up is extremely high, and there is so much I would say activity in always changing things when circumstances changes, that there is I think a different approach to rework thing and build automatisms. We do it from our side with a lot of microservices and try to use APIs that are already available on certain platforms, not to build everything from scratch once again and once again and once again. Then there is, I would say, maybe probably the highest potential in optimizing the way to get to a better quality on data and a quicker, much quicker result set than waiting typically maybe months on building up a data warehouse environment or even ETL areas.
I want to segue and talk a little bit about the knowledge gap that we see in this space. And I mean, you're in a unique position because you seem to have a really good technical knowledge and coming from the business side. In our projects at the Modlo, we often find that the technical teams are quite knowledgeable. It's on the C-suite side that we often find a knowledge gap. Yeah. If there's one resource you can recommend to help the C-suite on their BI journey, what would you recommend?
This is probably really a not easy to answer question, because I always see there is a big gap between all that tech talk and the complexity, especially due to the fact that it is somehow a kind of complex structure to build all that data warehousing infrastructure. So I've read once the book Blue Ocean Strategy. If you already heard about that,
I'm a big fan.
Okay. So, and there are some very interesting stories within that, how companies take care on their data, and how companies need to keep the focus not so much on the on just the big data, but focus more on the relevant data. And this helped me as well to understand where are the most powerful areas to work with the data. The book itself it's not so focused just on data, but if you keep in mind that data is somehow very similar to a kind of, for example, go into a market approach, you can learn a lot of that. I learned a lot with the Blue Ocean strategy.
That's interesting because I'm a big fan and devotee of Blue Ocean strategy, and I didn't remember when speaking about it, you know, recently, that it did have those references to relevancy of data. So I thank you for mentioning that.
For example, focus on what you already know, and the knowledge that is there is typically stored in a way you store your data. So, for example, don't give away, especially your most valuable knowledge and all your ideas and all your innovations that you've created. So, if you give that data away into other hands, that's a very dangerous thing. Yeah? And that's one of the reasons why some industries are really struggling, yeah? Because other industries understood that they're copying parts of their kernels. Takes away a full industry and creates a new industry. And that's what I've learned from that problem. Yeah.
So I want to turn now and get to know a little more about you. And one of the ways we do that is we have some different type of questions. So my first one is, what is your current go-to television show?
Actually, in the moment, I don't have one that I'm looking for. I like somehow some casting shows. So as I'm located in Germany and a German guy, I look some of the German casting shows. But actually, there's not one that I'm looking in. I'm a little bit more oriented in audible books, for example, that I'm looking in, and sometimes I'm reading or even listening to podcasts. I have a very very famous psychologist here in and a neuroscience guy here in Germany that I'm listening in his lectures very regularly. And on the other hand side, I liked, for example, a little bit more into our areas, what Daniel Kahneman wrote in his book, Thinking Fast and Slow, on heuristics. That's something it's sometimes not easy to consume, but it gives you, every time I think I have listened to the audible book 4 or 5 times, and each time I'm listening into it, I get new insights out of it. So that's a little bit too.
I'm consuming. A big Audible fan. So if you were to recommend another, you know, one or two books or one or two podcasts, what would they be?
Actually, the last one that I've read is an English book. It's called Salesperson's Secret Code, and it's about I'm a salesperson since a long time in my heart as well. And the content of that book is really about smart selling. And they made a study with 1,000 salespeople and found out that the typical approach of hard selling didn't get that positive results than people who are more in a guerrilla mode and do things a little bit more smarter and more flexible, and they are much more productive in their results than the hard selling guys. And I like that approach, and actually I even have a project where I do some sales training for a banking company or financials company.
What podcast areas would you say is your favorite one?
Typically here in Germany, about neuroscience. So there is a guy called Professor Gerald Hüther, I'm a big fan of him, and he has a lot of podcasts that you can listen in. That's actually my favorite, because he combines things from the psychology and things from the business, and how education could be much more effective than how it is done nowadays. And this is what I like most.
If you like this genre, there's a really good book that was written in the 80s, and there was a new edition by Robert Cialdini, and okay. It's called, I believe, Influence, The Psychology of Persuasion.
I heard about it, yes.
You can probably find an Audible. It is fantastic. I would highly recommend that.
Good. That's fine. Yeah, I will use that.
And I will add these notes about your recommendations in the show notes when we post this online.
Yes.
I want to conclude by asking you to tell our listeners where we can find out more about you and your companies on the web.
Yeah, we're actually redesigning our website, because it's as it is with many technology companies, it's a lot of tech talk and not easy to consume if you are not in that area. So it will be redesigned in the next upcoming weeks. But even so, there is some areas that is worthwhile to read in, and it's all on dataworks.com. So our homepage, and the works is WERKS.com, and just data ahead of it, and then you will find us.
That is great. Thank you so much for your time today, Klaus. It was much appreciated, and hopefully we can do a follow-up round down the road.
That would be great. Thanks a lot as well.
Thank you.